Now, I'm looking forward to this lunchtime social debate because it's always great to stay in touch with the youth. And somebody pointed out, I think it was you, Max, that, you know, talking about schools and how people have decided this is what they're going to do, but they haven't been to school in 48 years. And I left school in 1981, so that makes that 37 years. So I'm not far off that person you were kind of describing there. But I think I'm probably more in touch with them because it's a case of if you talk to people like yourself, you find out more and we should listen more. We got a system that's been in place for years and years and years. Yes, they've tweaked it. Yes, they've changed it. But things are changing and we have to modernise. And we've got two gentlemen in today that have been talking about their experiences in school. We're going to touch on behaviour. We're going to touch on the issues that you face. And there's so many issues. We can talk about discipline, exams, the job of the teacher and homework and all of these things. So we welcome Josh Mansell.
Hello.
And we also welcome Max Toogood as well.
Hello.
How much agreement is there between you and what we're going to discuss? Are you kind of switched on? You've analysed school and thought, do you know what? Okay, Josh has got a completely different opinion to me, or is it roughly the same?
Roughly the same, yeah.
Roughly the same. So what we want to do is at the end of this, we want to send this to whoever we need to send it to and say this is two people's opinion, a couple of other people's too, because you've been back to school, done a few interviews and so on, and this is what we think of the school situation. I think we've all got a rough idea, but bearing in mind things have changed since certain people have left school, we're going to now find out, you know, the facts, the figures, and so on and so forth. So we're going to start with your experiences.
Yeah.
Your experiences of school.
Well, with the experiences we've had at school, say through reception, further up, the actual teaching has gone through massive differences. Because from reception, you tend to have a little play, and then through the years, it gets harder and harder and harder. Because now they don't have middle school, do they? Because I went through primary school, and I had to stay there until I was year six. And then there was no middle school, so we instantly went from being taught very nicely and calmly to going straight to year seven, which is in high school, and them just being very harsh on us, and we didn't know how to adapt to that whatsoever.
Yeah, but it's gone through those changes as well, because they've also referred to our year as the guinea pig year.
Yeah.
So they've changed up tests now. It's not ABCs, it's like 1, 2, 3s, and it's all a different system. And you have to score high to get the best mark, like normal. But like, there's more marks to that, the mark that would be equal to a C. So say there was normally 30 marks, there's now 40, 45, 50
right.
To a C.
I kind of get that.
Yeah.
We just want to come back to the middle school, primary school, middle school, high school thing,
yeah,
and the point that you made. Would you go back to the old system then?
Yes, I would definitely go to middle school because it goes from nice teaching to, okay, you're growing up now, this is how you need to act, and then, okay, you're older now, this is how you act, instead of just going from very nice, oh, okay, we're going to treat you like children, to, okay, you're old now, do this.
Do you know, I just relating to that, and I completely agree with you, I really do. I remember being at Barton, and you'd spend time in a sandpit and learning different things for that age group.
Yeah.
And then going to Downside Middle School, which is a bit more of like a youth club. And then when you went to high school, it was, right, now that hard work begins, now you've got to become young adults. And I'm guessing the last year of middle school, they kind of toughened it up a little bit and got you ready for when you went to high school. Nowadays, in putting it in simple terms, now when you get to that point, you're 11. You get to that high school point and you're 11 years old. And one of the biggest things that you hear, one of the most things said from people, kids should be kids for as long as they possibly can. And if you're like teaching them to be young adults at the age of 11, that's too early. So I'm in agreement with that. And I think they've messed up the system there.
Yeah.
I think whoever it was that said, you know what, we're going to go, because you're 11. So when you get to that school, you're 11 years old.
Yeah, and you feel very vulnerable because as a year 7, you look up to the year 11s and they all look tough and everything. They look like they're going to beat you up or something. At least that's what it was for us when we went to start.
Like,
was that the experience you had, Max?
Yeah, I didn't get beaten up or anything, but there was a couple of year 11s that tried beating us up. But it's like you've gone from reception to year 6 and you have to start all over again.
Mm.
From, because we don't get that in-between spot that shows us, yeah, you're growing up, you're getting this be more mature sort of bit.
Mm.
To show us that we're going to be like this. Instead, we just get put in a year where we're like not knowing anything or knowing what older people or teenagers can be like. We're just thrown in and you can just get beaten up for not knowing anything.
Okay. I mean, that to me makes perfect sense. And that's someone that's actually gone through that new system like you have. And I went through the old system. And I went to the same school as you, and back then it was called year. When we got there in our first year, it was third years, fourth years, fifth years. But there was only 2 years between us and the bigger kids. Whereas you've got, when you first turned up, you'd have been 11, and chuck on a couple of sixth formers as well, and there would have been 7 or 8 years between. That's a long time. Mm. That's a massive, massive difference. Okay, we don't want to get hung up on two, you know, the same subject all the time, but I think we've made the point there.
Yeah.
That for you, is there any positives out of that? Is looking at it from the other angle, they did it for a reason. What are the positives, if there are any, that you can see?
I guess what they tried to establish was... maybe they tried to cut the amount of money they had to put into middle school, and they thought, okay, maybe if we make it just a bit more serious in year 6 and then make it a bit more serious in year 7, then we won't need a middle school and we can just send them straight up to high school without wasting any money.
Okay. Mm. So you're looking at it completely cynical, like I would too.
Yeah.
You're cynical at a very early age, but you just think it's cutbacks and it's money. They've saved themselves a load of money.
It is, because they've just turned Downside into a library or youth centre now, isn't
yeah.
it?
Hang
the
on a minute.
Site for it.
No, I don't. No, they may have turned Barton in, because Barton was a... See, this is complicated. Barton Primary was always a primary. Downside, when he were big enough, then he went to Downside. And then they kept Barton open, and now they've realised that Downside was probably a better place because it's bigger. So they've moved Barton into Downside and called it Barton. And I don't know what they've done, so it might be a library, I don't know. It's very complicated, but they've moved them round, and then they've moved them round again. So they obviously didn't get it right the first time. I'm not pointing the finger at anybody. Somebody had to make the decision. But to me, the decision was wrong. The decision was wrong. But having said that, if you talk to a lot of people, I've spoken to a family on the mainland, and they got this system, and they've had the system in place forever and a day, where they don't have a middle school. You just go straight from there to there, and they say that it works.
I do know on the mainland from my stepbrother, they still have middle school, so it's just the island getting this non-middle school thing.
Right. Certain areas don't. What would you would prefer?
I would prefer school thing, because it just helps you learn that it's going to be tougher, not just jump straight in and
okay.
have that.
Well, let's move on to what you are actually learning, because this is the forgive me if I'm you know, let me say what I'm going to say, and then you tell me whether I'm wrong. I think that when you go to school, they want you, or what should happen is you learn as much as you possibly can, so that when you leave school, you are ready for the outside world and you are ready to take on a job. That to me is what school's about. Is that what it's like for you? Is that what it should be?
Not exactly, because they cram all this stuff in your head, short space of time, you get a week or two on a certain topic.
Okay.
Don't learn it properly. And
they just assume that we've understood the topic and then move on to the next one.
Yeah, and people, like, if in the future you're doing a mini assessment on it, then and you don't get it, you get told off for not knowing it and saying you had a certain amount of time on this. Or if you did something in primary and haven't done it for multiple years, you've forgotten it, they still tell you off because you've done it in primary.
Do you think when you leave school in 3 years' time that you will be ready for the outside world?
No, because we don't have those lessons where we get to learn mortgages and how to keep a home or actual life lessons sort of thing.
Which is the point I made earlier on. That is where I think that schools ought to be. Yes, there's knowledge. Knowledge is wonderful. Knowledge is power as well. But also, when you leave school, I want, you know, that's the whole point of going to school. You are ready for the outside world. That's not just left to the schools and the teachers to do. That's down to your parents too. So when you get to leaving age, you know what a hard day's graft is. and how much roughly you're going to get paid and what you need to do to earn that money. That's where you need to be, as well as knowing geography and history and religious education and all of those other things as well. But to me, there ought to be like a common sense or learning life skills lesson where you learn all of those things as well, and you don't do that at the moment.
No. The closest class to that is child development.
Yeah.
Right.
Just learn how to bring up a child.
See, again, I look at that and I think somebody says child development, and you think, you don't want to be called a child, do you?
Mm.
You want to be, the next thing should be adult development, maybe, or, you know, that young adult. I just think they've got it all wrong. The packaging is all wrong, it will put you off. So you think when you leave school, you're not going to be ready?
No, not at all.
Okay, well that's a failing then, isn't it?
They teach you stuff like algebra, which... when at all you're going to need that, unless you like want to study that, and if you want to study that, then go to university and study that. We don't need it unless we want to do that.
Okay, I mean, I've heard that said so many times from so many different eras and so on and so forth. And at some point, you've got to start believing. Hey, look, if they say it and they're 35 now, and they say it and they're 15 now, and they say it and they're 60, then surely there's a point there to be made. So maybe it is about modernising the situation, modernising what you need. So what would you have then? What do you want to know? You want to know how mortgages work.
Yeah.
We want to know how to
do taxes, pay mortgages off, how to get like car insurance and stuff so we can actually get transport places, and how to keep a home, because otherwise we're going to be thrown into the world, and say if we didn't have parents or guardians, we wouldn't know what to do, because they've all been through it, so they know how to keep a home and stuff.
Yeah.
But if we didn't have them, we wouldn't know what to do whatsoever.
There would also be a use if we had a law class as well, so we'd learn laws so we don't do that in the future as well,
so we don't commit crime without even knowing it.
That's a good point, because let's be honest, how many people know that you're not allowed to do certain things? There's certain
hardly
things
any.
You
they,
can't
yeah.
do
it's just yeah hardly anyone knows, and it just gets them thrown in for not knowing.
Okay.
And then they regret.
Alright, that's interesting to know, and I think you've been very honest so far, and I say there's lots we're going to discuss now between now and 1 o'clock. It'd be interesting to see whether we send this to someone and see what they make of it. Hey, this is your opinion, this is what you would like. So how much of what you just said though about what you would like to learn is down to the teachers, and how much is it down to the parents? Should the parents play a role here as well when it comes down to mortgages, looking after houses and things like that? Is that not the job of the parents?
Not particularly, because the parents have as much time as they have as work, because they're always working.
So
they get home late.
I think teachers think that parents just stay at home, and okay, they're going to be there when the kid comes home, so they can teach him that certain lesson. But most parents nowadays, they have jobs that keep them at work for a long time, and some of their kids are stuck at home looking after themselves. So the parents won't be there to teach them those important life lessons, so that's why school needs to do that.
Okay, but do you agree that the parents should play a part in it?
In raising them, yes, and giving them important life lessons every now and then.
Yeah, or like because of homework, help with that, because they've gone through that.
See, I think that there's a two-way street here. I don't think it should be every now and then. I think really and honestly, a parent's role is to bring up their children and guide them, and you know, and I think a teacher's role is to teach them, and I think the job goes hand in hand, and I think they can help each other.
Yeah.
You know, all of the goodness that's in you, all of the ideas, all of the focus, all of the decent things that you do, the respect that you show, is probably going to come from your parents.
Yeah,
more than it is from school, because before you get, I mean, you started school 5.
Around that, yeah. Mm-hmm.
You knew you had to say please and thank you.
Mm-hmm.
You knew you had to sit up to a table and eat.
Yep.
So that comes from the home.
Yeah.
And that should continue. That's the way I look at it. But I think the two go hand in hand. I don't think we can say, personally, I don't think we can say, oh, that's the teacher's job to make sure that I'm disciplined. No, I think that's the job of
parents
as well, for sure.
But then teacher's discipline could help as well.
Yeah. Because it keeps them in check for later.
Are their hands tied? We're going to chuck something at you. Yeah. You went to Medina. I went to Medina. There was a cane situation in our school when we were there. And, you know, I know that people will look at this and they'll say, oh, that's barbaric. You can't do that. And I totally agree with that. I really do. But if you go back in time, now, I know a lot of people that I used to go to school with back then that lived in fear of having the cane, and they've grown up to be all right. Not many wrong'uns in our year. They all went on to do decent things. I don't think anybody's murdered anybody. I don't think too many people have gone to prison and stuff like that. So we had a reasonably good year. They lived in fear of the cane. Here we are, X amount of years later. I discussed this with the guy that used to carry out the caning back then, and he said, you know what, Ian? It was all a myth, really. In 22 years, I caned something like 17 people, and there were three youngsters that he caned a few times. So that brings the percentage right down. Now, I'm not saying we should bring back the cane. What I am saying is that worked.
Yeah, like a similar discipline system, because now you just have students waltzing on in, just shouting, swearing, screaming.
Yeah, and I think teachers have gotten soft now, because originally their punishment was to give them a detention for an hour after school. But now they changed it so they have half an hour after school, and they just keep getting more and more soft.
Yeah, probably because they want to get home as well.
They just think as well, like, oh yeah, keep them in for longer, they'll learn. But they don't learn at all, because they give them isolation for a day, so they sit them in a room and they just have to write.
Yeah.
Or they give them, like, if they don't turn up to their first detention they're given a two-hour one on Friday, which everyone wants to go home on a Friday. But it's still not going to make them learn. It's just making them sit still for 2 hours.
So, come on, discipline. We had the old way. You wouldn't bring back the cane. I wouldn't bring back the cane either. But we had something in place and it worked, because there was a deterrent.
Yeah.
And it did. It worked. So what would you do now? What would you replace it with?
Just take things important away from them, because that's always worked with people.
What are you going to take? We're back to...
like a phone. They try taking our phones away, but they say, oh, yeah, get your mum to collect it, or you can collect it at the end of the lesson.
But this is mainly where your parents will come in now, isn't it?
Yeah.
And this is where maybe it is a two-way street. Maybe it is a case of they write home and they say, look, Josh has been really, really bad this week. You know, there's nothing we can't do to control him, because it's not in our jurisdiction now. Mm. We can't whack him. We can't hit him. We can't pin him up against the wall and go, you carry on like this and I'm going to, you know, you can't do that. So maybe it's down to you to confiscate something at home. Yes, he likes Xbox. Take his Xbox away for 6 months.
Mm.
They can't do that at school. See now, just say for instance, I'm not being funny with you. I am one of the nicest guys that you'll ever meet, but I'm also one of the most awkward blokes that if you push my buttons, to the point where if I was in your school situation now, this is what I would... Somebody told me I had to stay behind after school. Make me.
Yeah.
How are you going to do that?
They're not allowed to touch you.
How are you going to do that? If I decide that I'm not coming in, I'm not coming in. There's nothing you can do about it.
Mm.
So how do they counteract that? There's no way that they can counteract that. This is where the parents must play a part, must play a major part. Okay, it might be easy. Just say, for instance, you're captain of the school team, football.
Right.
Okay, and I say to you, right, we're stripping you of the captaincy, and by the way, you're not playing for the school team for at least 3 weeks. That might change your attitude.
Yeah.
Okay.
That'd annoy me.
But there you go. But what else can you do? I mean, just say, for instance, if you are, if you're not a footballer, I know you're not a footballer, and I know you're not as well. How do they treat you then? How do we get you to do what you want? I know that you're disciplined, and I know that your dad has brought you up, and your mum has brought you up the right way. So if they tell you to jump, you're going to ask how high, and I'm sorry, I'm not going to do that again. I'm sorry, I'll be good from now on and so forth. I'm pretty sure that that's what you would end up doing.
Yeah.
But how do they do that if you're not going to comply?
If they took something important away from you and you got really angry at them and kept asking why and give that back and stuff, I think after a couple of days when you've maybe held a grudge against them but don't bring it up, maybe they keep referring to that. So, oh, well, maybe if you're good, then you'll get this back in a certain amount of time. So just keep bringing up the fact that they've been bad, and then hopefully that will change their attitude to think, okay, well, if I'm not bad, then I'm going to get it back quicker. So that will just make them behave better.
So what happens at the moment when somebody's really, really bad, they could just get away with it and nothing really happens?
Yeah, pretty much.
Okay, which is kind of sad, and it's not the answer, is it? It's just burying your head in the sand and not fixing it. I say we need to modernise things, and we don't go back to where we were. Let's hit people with sticks. That's not right. But, you know, it does need looking at. So you've got some audio. Is this connected with that?
We've got teachers saying what they like about the school and what they would change if they had the possibility to.
Okay, have you got any, because I know you took some quotes down from certain people, have you got those in front of you on the behaviour topic? What's their thoughts on it?
We've got the first audio clip from Miss Holmes,
yeah.
And she's saying it's bad behaviour and it would be better to change it, but not explaining, but yeah, it is bad behaviour.
We've got to point out that obviously you went back into school, asked a few questions. There are a few hands tied here. They've got to be very careful what they say, and you've got to be very careful what they ask, what you ask, and so on and so forth. But this is Mrs. Holmes. Shall we play the audio?
Yeah.
Okay, this is the audio.
I think it's a really good school. I've been here a long, long time. Staff are supportive of students and each other. It's a good place to work. I'm not sure, to be perfectly honest. Maybe some of the behaviour that we have in certain students.
Okay, so you're asking what would you change? Possibly some of the behaviour. She's obviously been very guarded, and I don't blame her, because it just seems to me at the moment that no one listens to the teachers. But if they put a foot wrong or they say something out of place, they'll be down on you like a ton of bricks. And I think it's really sad that they don't get talked to. They don't get asked their opinion, because they've got to do the job. And it must be, who'd be a teacher? That's something that I've heard so many times in the last so many years. Who'd be a teacher these days? I remember a teacher at Carisbrook who'd been around since the year dot. He was doing a brilliant job there, involved lots of kids. He used to work at the Key Arts Centre doing discos. He used to get the kids down there doing discos. He had the backing of them. There were two unruly kids that were fighting. One had a protractor and was going to stab the other one. And because he grabbed hold of him, the guy with the protractor, held his hands in a way that he couldn't hurt himself or anybody else, because he held him quite tightly, there were bruises. He got suspended. He got suspended for stopping that kid from sticking that protractor in someone and hurting them. He ended up with a few bruises on his arm, this kid. The teacher gets suspended. And the teacher said, you know what, teaching is not for me anymore, I'm off. You lose all of that experience, and yet he did nothing wrong. And you think, how sad is that?
But the teachers are under control, because they've got a system, they can't teach freely. It's like judging a fish on how to climb a tree sort of thing. Like, people need different teaching, but they can't teach those people in their ways. They have to teach in the specific way, follow the certain curriculum, and follow what they've been told to do, or they get fired.
Yeah.
They can't help directly or help out, and they're not allowed to touch the students unless it's like a really bad fight. They can hold them back, but they can't rip them away or hold them back or lock them in a room or hold them up a wall sort of thing.
We've heard that in some schools, I don't know whether it's your school or not, but I don't think it was your school that where I heard this from, but if there was a fight that breaks out and it's quite a serious fight, they have to call the police.
They had this a while ago, last year. Summertime, there's these two girls that got into a fight on the field and started pulling hair, throwing punches, and the teachers weren't allowed to interact, so they called the police, and there was a police van there to separate them, and they got one of them got taken down and kicked out the school.
Right.
Not the teacher, but the student.
Won't mention any names, but I mean, that's where we are. And if you had a system in place that allowed you to intervene and stop, mind you, again, it's what would be deemed force, excessive force, too much force. I mean, the story I was telling you about, because he had a bruise, if he didn't have a bruise, it wouldn't be there for any proof of... But then what do you expect? You know, this guy's got a protractor. He's going to use force. I mean, those things, you stick one of those in your eye, you've lost your eye.
Yeah.
And they kind of hurt, even if they're stuck in elsewhere, you know. So I think it needs reviewing, doesn't it?
Yeah,
certainly needs reviewing. Would you
they need more control over what they can do, basically.
Yeah, like some teachers, some of my teachers, for instance, they have their own teaching ethic, which helps other students, because they're kind to the students, they're funny, and they occasionally have banter with all the students. which makes them like the teachers more, which makes them respect the teachers, and then everyone gets their way of life. Like, they all benefit from it.
Hmm.
And then some teachers are just plain strict, and no one gives them respect, and they always act up in their classes.
Because the saying, respect others how you'd want to be respected. But then you go into some strict teacher's classroom after they've had a really bad class or something.
They take the anger out on you.
Yeah, they'll take their anger out on you, even though you've done nothing wrong. So then you eventually think, all right, well, I'm not going to give them respect, they're not going to give me any. And then it's a continuous war between no one's getting respect between them.
Mm.
So strict teachers, are they good for the school or bad?
Probably bad, because it increases the behaviour, but it does help in some ways. It's good to be strict, because then you can put them under control, but that's only for the good people.
And I think it depends on how strict they are. If they're intimidating and they're strict, then that's going to make the behaviour of students better. But if they're not intimidating whatsoever and they're strict, then students aren't going to abide by their rules.
So if you brought back the ability to be a strict teacher, and I'm only going on what it was like when I was at school. There were certain teachers where if somebody was to say his name was Mr. Archer, he was the original headmaster, and you could be messing around, not in a lesson, but just messing around, and this is the sort of respect he had, and somebody would say Archer, and you'd freeze, Archer's coming. And hang on a minute, I'm not doing anything wrong, really. I'm just messing about a bit, but just being a kid. But that's the way it was. People were, you know, and he was a good teacher. He never taught me, but I know that he taught others, and they said he was actually a really good teacher, but he was mega, mega strict. But people respected him for that.
It's because the teachers had more power that then. Like, not bad power, but good power, because teachers are always going on about respect at our school. Like, you don't give me enough respect, or if you don't treat people with respect, you're not going to get it back. But then they're not treating us with respect, so then we don't give it back.
Which is, you know, we go around in circles there, don't we?
Mm.
And it is kind of sad. I mean, you know, PE teachers, I remember 3-4 PE teachers, the same thing. You know, you would respect them, because if you didn't, they'd give you a clip round the ear.
Mm.
They'd make sure that you got a clip round the ear, because just say, for instance, if you were playing football or playing rugby, you'd get a clip round the ear whilst playing. So they got you back at some point.
Mm.
And I'm, you know, when you think about it, you think, well, that sounds kind of wrong. But what happened was we all grew up respecting the law and what we had to do. I'm not saying we were all bright and really intelligent, but we were very respectful, which I'm guessing that's the problem. That's half the battle here. It's a respect thing. And this is going to move us on to the issues that you face. Obviously, if you're in a classroom with people that are misbehaving, you are then going to struggle to pick up what's going on in the lesson. So that's an issue, one of the issues that you face. Come on, let's talk about the issues. Because when do you ever get asked, what problems? I mean, we all know what they're going to be. They're going to be like, you work too hard for exams.
Yeah.
We're going to touch on homework a little bit later on. There's so much pressure on you. So issues, come on, let's talk about the issues that you face.
We have, even though it may not be a big thing to teachers, teachers think, oh, you should increase the weeks because that gets them working harder, but it doesn't. It slows us down. And with all exams and stuff, we're focused on doing that, and we're worrying too much, and we're put under too much pressure, and we're tired out from all the weeks, because we get 5, 6, 7 long week terms, when really it should just be 5 every term.
Yeah.
And then 1 week off, even if it's like a 2 week off, take one of those weeks off and just make it into another one.
Okay, so would you change the holiday system, the days and the weeks that you get?
I'd still keep the week off. Just a week to relax, that helps, but we shouldn't come back into school to do work, because that's still working us.
We found out from a little while ago, a young lady that went to Sandown, and she, on her week off, half term, she came in to do the four-piece course on the Thursday, but Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, and the following day, Friday, she was having to go in to practice for her exams at school, and you told me that you had to do the same, Josh.
Yeah, because I had to come in for a week, because I had to practice my piece for drama for my proper GCSE exam, and it's not fun doing that when you have a week off and you're meant to relax, and you're not
absolutely
meant to be practicing when you're supposed to be relaxing and forgetting about things, and then
If we go back to what I said earlier on, what you agreed with as well, and that was, you know, school is getting you ready for the big world outside of it.
Yeah.
So it's getting you ready for work and so on. Now, I would not expect to go into a job and then book a holiday and then have to go into work. Why should you? That's not a lesson, is it, at all? That's a very bad lesson, isn't it? That's not how it's going to be outside. And I think they've misjudged that massively.
Also, with this week, including homework, we've been given revision homework we have to do, because for the next 2 weeks when we get back, we have exams basically all day, because we have three exams in one day every Monday and Tuesday for the next 2 weeks. And then, because it's the last week of term, we're also going to be tired out, because it's like an seven, eight week long one. We've got these exams, we're put under pressure, and then we have no time to actually focus on what we're doing, because we're given this week at work and we'll be tired, and then we'll get back and we'll be tired again.
Well, how incredible. You bring this, we had this discussion the other day, and again, I don't want to put words in your mouth, but if it was me, I'd be looking at the system that we have in place and saying, why do you have exams during, you know, some of the hottest days of the year? Okay, it's lucky. We've just had June, and this week has been incredibly hot, exceptionally hot. I'm guessing someone's doing an exam this week, or two or three exams in this incredible heat. What idiot had the idea of, let's have all the exams in the summertime when it's really, really hot? Equally, if you said, well, if we had them in, you know, October, November, possibly early part of December, there'd be a lot of people off sick, colds, coughs, that sort of thing. So, you know, just to even it up.
I feel like maybe you should separate each type of exam into things. So science in November and then English in December sort of thing. One class for each exams every month. Because some people may have more exams because of where class is, but then most people have got coursework as well, so you don't have to do the exams. You just have to do this work over the 2 years you get for your choices, and you get marked on that.
So would you shift the, you know, I said to you the other week, or the other day, I said to you, should we start school? When you start, just say, for instance, when you start at a new school, start in January. After Christmas, start in January. Yeah. So then you get that full year, and at the end of the year, you do exams in October, November and December, spread over a period of time that isn't, like, you know, going to be massively hot. Because just say, for instance, you're doing your exams, and the heat we had this week was next week when you're doing your exams. How bad are you going to feel? And let's just point out that if you weren't listening to the conversation we had the other day, how many youngsters are going to be in that same hall as you when you're doing that exam? Got how many?
100, 200.
100 or 200 people. I just want a listener to get this. And whoever we send this to try and get things to be looked at and changed and brought up to date. That's on a day that yesterday, just say for instance, 35 degrees, the warmest day in I think over 40 years, and you want 100 or 200 kids to sit in a hall that doesn't have air conditioning and do an exam. And do the best exam you can do, and make sure that you pass. Because otherwise, that number in the column is going to look really, really bad, and Ofsted are going to come down on the school like a ton of bricks. Mm. I mean, to me, it's a no-brainer, isn't it? You've got to. I'm not saying we've got to change it just for the hell of changing it, but what I am saying is, and I don't know whether you agree or not, we've got to look at it and review it and see if we can make this better. Can we do it? Can we make it better? Can we eradicate some of the issues that you guys face? What other issues are you facing? What other problems do you have on a day-to-day basis?
Teachers.
Okay.
Just them. It's just the way we spoke about them earlier sort of situation. Because they all... Sometimes teachers you've had... When you start up school, you got a new teacher every year sort of thing. You've had them for a term or two. They still don't know your name properly or who you are, because they're always focused on the bad people. And they don't praise the good people as much. Yet, a good student could do a lot of work and then get put in Book of Distinction sort of thing. But they don't really get noticed as much. They get told, oh, you're doing good. You don't need help because you know what to do. But they don't always know what to do because it's harder for certain students. And they don't. And the bad people are always just getting sent out. So it's distracting you from your work. And it's... You just don't... The teacher doesn't focus on you either.
Yeah, sure. Okay, probably the same when I was young as well. You know, I can remember back now. If you're remembering kids that you used to go to school with, you remember all the bad ones because they stand out for all the wrong reasons, sadly. Mm. So you've got this. We've said it. It's out there. We can send this off to someone and see if they can look into it. Is exams are there too many? Should they be scattered? Are you worried about next week? Is it a hell of a lot more stress than it should be?
Yeah, it is, because it's just all this thing. Because our exams were doing maybe mock for next year, but there are also exams for what classes we're going to be in next year as well.
Okay. So it's a lot of pressure for you at the age of 15.
Yeah.
Let me tell you, when I did an exam, you did the exam a couple of weeks before you left school. You had them all at once. I didn't feel pressured, not really. I couldn't be bothered. You know, I'd already got myself a job. And I'm not saying that people shouldn't try hard and they shouldn't learn as much as they possibly can. But in my day, it was different. I didn't get marked for what I did 6 months before. It was just do that exam, test. If I'd have had a bad day, I wouldn't have passed exams.
Mm.
Are you under that pressure as well? They bring it because they're changing the exam system. Are you under that constant pressure as well? Where if you don't do well in your exams, is there anything else that backs it up, like coursework?
Coursework can help, but it's only for that subject. It won't help you in any other subject.
Right.
So it's only going to help you get a job for that. But you also need science, English and maths to get a job, because that's what people look for.
Yeah.
Okay, you've gone into school, you've done some recordings. Should we play your next bit of audio here? It's tell me about this. It's Josh interviews some teachers. Tell us about this.
I got Mrs. Connor, Miss Butler and Miss Clark, and I asked for their opinions on what they think of the school, what they would change, and just in general, do they like the school or not?
Okay, and this is what they... This is what they had to say for themselves. Okay, so this is who? Mrs. Connor?
Mrs. Connor, Miss Butler and Miss Clark.
Okay.
So I'm Josh Mansell, and here today I'm with
Mrs. Connor,
Miss Butler,
Miss Clark.
And what departments do you teach in, or what is your job like?
I'm an assistant head teacher, but I'm also in charge of special needs and I teach English.
I'm an assistant head teacher in charge of student support. I teach English and child development.
I'm an assistant head teacher in charge of teaching and learning, and I teach English.
So what do you all think about the school?
That's quite a big question.
I think it's in a really exciting place at the moment. I think we've had a new head teacher, head of school for a year, and we're really finding our feet and we're really pushing forward, so I'm really excited to be here.
Yeah, I'd second what Mrs. Clark says. I think Medina's a really good school, and I'm really excited about our upcoming Ofsted inspection.
And I've been here since 2001, and I don't think I'd ever consider teaching at another school on the Isle of Wight. I love it here, but I think, like my two colleagues have said, it's in a really exciting place and it's only going to get better.
Hmm. If there was one thing you could change, what would it be?
Oh, I've got one. I wish that we could instil a sense of pride about the school, a bit more pride in the school for our students. It's still too messy.
Yeah, I'd say moving on the ethos of the school as well, but we're getting there. Oh, and my Year 10 class that you're in, Josh.
Great.
And I'd like to see more positive views of Medina from people in the local community, because I think people are very quick to criticise what happens in school, but they don't necessarily come in and see what happens in school. So I'd like to invite parents and people from the local community to come in and see what school's really like.
Definitely.
Well, thanks for that interview.
Good interview. Thank you for that, Josh.
Sorry for all the audio in the background.
Well, all the squeaky doors and stuff like that. And I was making reference to a big nose then to Pinocchio, like, because they sounded like very guarded at first and very careful what they said, and quite rightly so. But then as you listened, yes, they were opening up and accepting that there are one or two issues that are being worked on. Yes, it's an exciting place and so on and so forth. But what just out of that and hearing them mention the term special needs and so on and so forth, I can only go back to the time that I was at school. We never had such a thing, so it must be more difficult. There are more difficulties and more people that you have to cater for, types of people, styles of, and so on and so forth.
Yeah, it's like Max said, where teachers have to adapt their learning ethic to suit certain students and their needs.
It must be so... I mean, this for 43 minutes, it might sound like we're having a go at people. It's not. I'm certainly not having a go at people. Yeah. I think there are certain things that we can address and don't bury our heads in the sand. Let's make some changes because they are necessary. But, you know, just think back, you know, I'm saying to you that things like we had a discussion on autism the other day. We had a discussion on other things, other problems other people have and so on. There was none of that at our school. There was no issues like that. They were just kids that turned up and you had to teach them. Whereas now, the unfortunate thing is we stick labels on people, maybe too soon, and highlight things. And maybe we shouldn't. Maybe we've made a rod for our own back by doing that. You know, because at the end of the day, we are all people. Why do you need a label? Why do you need to be Josh the actor, wannabe actor, and why, you know, you want to be a voice, Max the voice specialist? You know, why do we... So people, that's a label now. You've got a label. Oh, we're gonna pick that label and we're going to have a go at that label. And so I think the trouble is we've given ourselves a problem by saying, okay, these youngsters are X, Y, and Z, and that one there. In our day, we didn't have that.
I feel like they've just gotten lazy and they've just decided to assume people and what they do because they don't bother to find out what the person is or what they're like. They just stick a label on them, okay, well, this person's an actor, so they're probably going to be very full of themselves or something, but...
No, you're not.
But there are some actors that really aren't full of themselves and they do, like, charity events and stuff, so... They just gotten lazy and they just start sticking labels on people.
I mean, it must be so difficult. I mean, those three, I'd be very comfortable if I was a headmaster of that school, your school. I'd be very comfortable knowing we've got three ladies in there that are seem to be very switched on, very caring as well. You know, don't get me wrong. I don't think it's a case we should ignore whatever problems they've got. But I think sometimes by sticking a label on it and making it so clear what it is, it's like, well, hang on a minute. You know, you're making them a target.
Yeah.
Almost, and I think some of these kids would probably get bullied, and I don't like that. I don't like bullying. I don't like labels. You know, and I think sometimes, okay, sometimes you have to do something. Sometimes you have to, you know, pull somebody to one side and say, "Hey, look, we're going to put you in this class because you would work better with this situation." That's fine, but don't stick a label on them, so that it's like, "Oh, look, we're flag. This person here is look. He's not like you. He's not like." I think at the end of the day, we're all people.
Yeah. And we all deserve the same attention, but obviously some people might need some more, but they don't need to force teachers to suit their needs instead of, like, doing the whole class as a whole.
Okay, well said. We'll take a break. We'll come back with part two.
This is Vectis Radio.
Sky Academy helps young people unlock their potential through TV, creativity and sport.
Turning my dream into a reality.
Kickstarting my career.
And helping me build confidence.
Through fantastic mentors and great opportunities.
We're discovering possibilities we never knew existed.
We believe in potential. Search Sky Academy to see how it can help a young person you know.
West White Audio, the island's technical troubleshooters. Having problems with your phone? Or are your electrics on the blink? Maybe you need your appliances or your building wiring tested or just a light fitted. We've got it covered. For friendly, reliable service, call Kelvin on 754666 or click westwhiteaudio.co.uk. All Allen coverage.
For over 70 years, White Building Materials have been the leading supplier of construction and building materials on the Isle of Wight, offering ready-mix concrete, decorative aggregates, concrete blocks, and so much more. They're right here on your doorstep, unless, of course, you haven't built it yet, in which case you need White Building Materials. For more information, or if you have any questions regarding products and services, contact them on 01983 524 822 or check out the website, whitebuildingmaterials.com. White Building Materials. Get your asphalt into gear and call them today.
Stay social and get in touch. Give us a call on 01983 240 666.
Welcome back to part two. We have Josh Mansell and Max Toogood in. We're talking schools, future of schools, problems you have in schools, and so on and so forth. And what was we mentioned earlier on about brain food.
Yeah.
Don't let me forget about brain food, because we mentioned it about an hour ago, and I'm thinking, right, okay, it's not just fish, is it? What is brain food?
Well, there's many types, such as protein, as Max said. Mm. Fish is a very good one. I believe egg is a very good one. But it has to be, I can't remember if it's raw or if it's just properly cooked. I can't remember which one it is.
As well, yeah.
But the main concern I have with brain food is, should we serve that at school more for students? Because if we want students to have the most brain power and get most out of lessons, we're going to want them to have the most brain power they can possibly get.
Good point. You've gone in this thoroughly, haven't you?
They have updated their menu recently at our school, but it's not really anything. It's still sort of slop. Sorry, school. It's okay food. It's just, it doesn't taste amazing, and it's not proper brain food. It's Mexican stuff, but it's not spicy or anything. And they do fish one time a week, which is Friday, and it's just fish and chips.
And they tend to rush when they cook, because they tend to cook it all in the morning and then preserve it until lunchtime. Whereas, obviously, if you had like proper home cooked food, it would taste much better, because whoever's made it has taken their time to cook it and they've put all of their love and care into that certain meal.
You are so lucky that you've got food at school. The stodge that they used to slop that they used to dish up when I was at school, both through Downside, Barton and Medina, in the end you end up taking sandwiches, which is kind of defeats the object. I think it's a really good point here, and it's a brilliant subject. Do you think, it's a question for you, and I say, I don't want to put words in your mouth, but do you think that you mentioned Mexican food there? I've got nothing against Mexican food. If it's a Saturday night and I'm going to have a pint with it, lovely. But if I'm at school, I'm not too sure. Are they just trying to appeal to youngsters to go in the canteen and buy food?
Is it
a case of, this is good for you?
It's the pictures show they may be good, like normal advertisements, but it isn't all amazing. It may be like a little wrap with a little bit of chicken and a little bit of what's meant to be spicy sauce, but it's not spicy at all. It's like they serve curry, and curry's meant to be tasty and stuff. It just tastes like dull rice.
Right, okay. I'm imagining curry would be good for you.
Yeah.
You know,
anything
rice
with chicken could be good, which they do serve a lot of chicken stuff,
which is good,
but it's not good chicken. It'd be better if it tasted good, because that'd also give us...
What would you like to see on the menu then?
I'm not sure, if I'm honest. Something that people would like a lot, but could also help with brain food. So I don't know, they
maybe serve some more fish or something, and maybe have maybe like a full English or something, because you want something that's filling for the students, so they don't go through the lesson and think, oh, I'm hungry, so I'm going to whap out a sandwich to start eating it during lesson. So you want something that's filling, and you want something that's going to increase their brain power. So I think a full English would be good, because not only is there going to be sausage and beans and stuff, you've also got egg, which is going to give them more brain power. And it's going to fill them up, and then they're not going to want to eat for the rest of school.
Again, I'm not standing up for the people, but you do have a lot more eating habits now.
Yeah.
And, you know, it makes it a little bit more tricky. So I'm guessing it's more complicated than we realise.
Yeah.
But at the same time, you know, I think overall, schools aren't completely broken. They just need modernising, and they just need to tweak a few things and have, you know, you in mind. Because, and now and again, maybe things like this, where you're making your points and I'm listening and I'm thinking, brain food. Why don't I think of that? Brain food's a great idea. You know, what is brain food? Let's chuck that out there. You know, if I now know, but just say, for instance, well, I was 13, 14, and you said to me, right, if you eat eggs, if you eat this, if you eat this, this is going to help you. Great. That's the sort of stuff I need to know. That's the sort of stuff you need to know. So maybe it is a case of, hopefully, they'll listen and they'll look at this and think, right, okay, well, there's a reason why we do the Mexican food, maybe. I don't know. Is it because it's good for you, or it's because it's attractive?
Because it's attractive, but people still buy it, but they don't particularly, they take a bite and and then throw it away. And plus, another thing is with the money, a parent can put money on in the morning through their school account, but there's a chance of it not going on for 3 days or maybe 24 hours. So the person misses out on lunch and they don't have a packed lunch. And some people can't even pay for it.
Sure. I'll tell you what, it's a fascinating subject. We are running out of time. We've got about 4 or 5 minutes to go, but it is a fascinating subject. And I'm kind of eager. You're 2 15-year-olds, and you've handled this with such maturity and talking about common sense and so on. And I really hope that they do have a little listen, have a little tweak of the menu. So, you know, but then my advice would be come back with some positives. Come back with, this is what we would like to see. This is brain food, fish, salmon. I'm guessing, you know, salmon and boiled potatoes.
Yeah.
That's what we're having for tea tonight. Sounds all right, actually. I'm looking forward to that. Salmon, new potatoes, a little bit of butter on top. Surely that's got to be healthy, isn't it? A little bit of a salad going on, even if you don't like salad.
I do like it. It's not amazing because there's no flavour to it.
Yeah.
But you can make it flavourable, can't you?
They like sell slurred sauce on it.
They sell fruit, but it's really squishy, ugly looking fruit, and it's all just thrown into a little tub. And they sell like little pasta pots, but I see loads of them left behind, but because people don't like them certain things, they need to survey what people like to find a proper menu. But then it's also the food service that they buy from, which I think is the Medina one down by B&Q,
right?
Medina Food Service, but they don't provide as much, I don't think, as well. So you're just getting thrown stuff that they've been thrown.
Do you know what was really, really sad is a couple of years ago, I know Jamie Oliver started up a campaign for healthy eating in schools, got crucified by people. And yeah, all he had was the kids at heart, their interest, and because he was basically told nosy so and so, keep your nose out. We're going to do whatever we want to do. He even went to some school and he saw mums and dads still handing like burgers from McDonald's through the gate, and you just think, how sad is that? This guy's trying to help, trying to be healthy, and you know, when you say salad is not unattractive, you like you said, put a sauce with it. And that's maybe, I mean, you said you do food tech.
Yeah, I do.
So, you know, it's your job. Hey, look, take the responsibility. You got some salad there. What are you going
to
do with it?
They could also ask food tech students to cook some stuff for lunch, but they don't. They just get thrown what they get from the truck, and they just throw that on a weekly menu.
What a great idea. Again, now we're taking it further, aren't we? I went up to the college last week for a quiz, and they did you a meal in the restaurant, and they got the kids to cook.
Yeah.
The youngsters that are up there.
That's what they should do.
And it was exceptional. The service was good, the food was good, and it gave them the opportunity to cook for people. How great would that be?
It would be great, but like within food tech, it's a great class. I love it, but you get given something that you either get to pick what you cook for a certain type of thing, say fish. That's what I think I'm doing right now, and then you think of a meal to make, but then you just take that meal home or you just throw it away. Because people cook it, but they don't like it. Because there's a couple of vegetarians and stuff in that class, and they still have to cook.
Yeah.
And they get told off for not cooking, but sometimes also their parents can't even pay for stuff.
Well, there's the answer. Involve the people that are doing the food tech. How great would that be? I think that's common sense.
Yeah, because then they could cook for the people in the canteen, and then the people who actually make food in the canteen, they could get ideas from what the students are liking and not liking, and then they could just survey what they like and don't like, and then order more of that kind of food.
And it's common sense. As long as you've got a teacher that is overlooking and overseeing, then nobody's going to get poisoned, because that's the other worry. That, you know, is it a health and safety aspect? Look, we've got 90 seconds. I know we wanted to touch on homework, but what do you agree with homework? Are you against homework? Or
it can be a chore at times.
Yeah, and you just get told off if you don't do it. Like, it shouldn't be mandatory for the teachers to give it out, because the teachers have to give it out, because otherwise they get told off. But then they make it mandatory for us to do it, when it was first made, back early 1900s, it was originally a punishment if you did bad stuff.
Right.
But now it's just been made mandatory for students to do. And if you don't do it, apparently you don't learn that certain subject, or you don't get the certain grades you need. according to teachers.
Okay, well, I'm in agreement with you, and I think homework is, if you were working in a supermarket 40 hours a week, working hard and earning money, you wouldn't be expected to take homework home with you. And we started at the outset of this discussion was, you know, schools should be getting you ready for the outside world so that you can go and get yourself a job. And you should know everything there is to know about being in work and so on and so forth. And if you're doing homework, you ain't going to do homework at in a job, unless you're running your own business. So there is a bit of leeway there, and maybe it's a good thing, maybe it's a bad thing. But I think the way I look at it is yes, it's not completely broken, but it does need modernisation, it does need bringing up to date. Somebody needs to do something, address it, don't bury your head in the sand. We've ran right out of time, but let me tell you, it's been a joy to spend 4 days with you, and we know we've got another day tomorrow, but even more so, I've thoroughly enjoyed this discussion because you've put a lot of effort into it. And you obviously put your heart and soul into it, and a lot of what you're saying is just common sense, which is you don't hear very often from 15-year-olds, do you? Because they're not given the opportunity to discuss things, are they? Because little children should be seen and not heard, which I think is totally outrageous. So maybe you've made a few people aware of what the issues that you have to go through on a daily basis. So thank you.
Thank you as well.
Stand by, because on the way, Caroline and team is here with the afternoon show.
www.vectisradio.com.
Star Signings Isle of Wight, the island's only AFTAL authorised dealer and a unique place for authentic signed memorabilia. If you're looking for something special for yourself or a really wonderful present, we are here with incredible gifts from all around the world. Whether it's Lionel Messi, Muhammad Ali or Paul McCartney, we have their autographs in store for you. All our autographs come fully authenticated and are sourced by Channel 4's Authenticate It or gained in person by former Premier League player Steve Jones. Why not pop in to see Dean and have a look around for yourself? You won't be disappointed.
And now a message from ICEC in Freshwater, the catering equipment company. ICEC are proud sponsors of the 4Ps project. We believe the 4Ps course is an amazing opportunity for young people on the island to boost their life skills through radio. The course benefits so many people and is a credit to all involved. To find out how ICEC can help with your catering equipment needs, call them on 01983 756 628.